Hello and welcome to Smash Your Pieces, a casual walk through the history of the Super Smash Bros. Ultimate roster. My name is Joe.
And my name is Matt.
And if you're new here, what we are doing on this show is we are playing one game for every character in Super Smash Bros. Ultimate, from 1984's Duck Hunt to 2019's Fire Emblem Three Houses. And our game this episode is representing fighter number 5, Yoshi. Is the 1997 Nintendo 64 game, Yoshi's Story.
So I, like, legit did not know that this was a score attack.
I also forgot this super hard.
Like, we didn't talk about that last week, did we? Like,
no, we did not, because I was not aware even slightly.
Yeah.
Until going back to it for the first time in a decade.
Like, oh. Huh.
It's different than what I expected. So basically, for anybody that has not played Yoshi's Story, which is a little bit odd if you're listening to this and haven't played Yoshi's Story, but I mean, who am I to tell you what to do? Basically, the story of Yoshi's Story, boy, that's going to get weird to say, is that Baby Bowser has turned Yoshi's Island into a storybook and stolen the Super Happy Tree, which is a tree that grows fruit that the Yoshis eat, and they're very happy that they're eating fruit. And I relate to this because fruit is great. And so all of the Yoshis get very sad, except for 5 baby Yoshis, or 6 baby Yoshis?
Six.
I think it's 6. 6 baby Yoshis, who decide, well, we're gonna go and we're gonna fight Baby Bowser and we're gonna get the tree back.
Well, don't they, like, it's not like their eggs hatch and they're like, oh man, where is everyone?
I think so. That sounds correct. But they come into life and they're like, we're going to go fight Baby Bowser and we're going to get the tree back so everybody can be happy again. And so, in terms of gameplay, what that translates into is there are 6 pages to this storybook. And you can only play 1 level on each stage of a total of 4. There are 4 levels on each stage. You only play 1 and then you move on to the next page and you don't go back. The first page automatically always has all 4 levels unlocked, but in order to unlock levels on the next few pages, you have to get hearts, of which there are 3 in every level, and if you get all 3, then you'll have access to all 4 levels on the next page. If you only get 2, you'll have access to 3, etc., etc. And so, in that way, much like Star Fox, in order to see every level in this game, you have to play it multiple times.
It is shockingly like Star Fox.
Yeah, like, surprisingly, 2 score attack games in a row.
And one of them we didn't even realize was a score attack game.
Yeah, it's really odd. I think it's extremely neat. Now, granted, while I think it is extremely neat, I don't think this game's anything super special. I don't think it's bad. Other than, like, the wrapping of the gameplay in this sort of score attack manner, it's just a platformer.
Sort of? Like, it's almost Metroidvania-ish. Not in that you, like, collect new power-ups or anything, but you do, like, explore and find the fruits that you need to get and everything.
Yeah, like, the levels don't have endings so much as the level is over once you have eaten 30 pieces of fruit that are scattered throughout this usually open-ended level. It's weird.
It is odd, to be sure. There's not many games like it.
And I think you said this during your stream, I think it would be really interesting to get another Yoshi game like this, but with, like, modern sensibilities.
Well, I think the worst thing about it is, like, I kind of don't think the platforming is that great.
Yoshi's very jerky.
Which is weird, because Mario World 2, Yoshi's Island, I felt the platforming in that is really solid. So I don't know what changed here, but just something doesn't feel right.
Miyamoto wasn't in charge, that's what changed.
That's a little harsh.
I mean, so I don't think it's just that Miyamoto wasn't in charge, I think it's also like it was the 64. And this is one of the only sprite-based 2D platformers on the entire console.
Yeah, 64 has got some built-in jank.
Because remember, this is the era when everybody was freaking out about 3D because 3D was the future. 3D is going to be the future. If you're not making your game in 3D, what are you even doing? We're not going to fund your game unless it's in full 3D. I don't care if it's good or bad. 2D games are dead. Get with the times, Grandpa. Obviously, that era ended, but...
Well, that sounds like any time that there was a game that was in 3D, it was kind of notable.
Yeah, and I actually didn't realize that it was sprite-based as a... it didn't come to mind until somebody pointed it out during my stream, and I was like, oh, right, because Yoshi's nose is round. Okay, that makes sense now.
Which is likely the specific reason why.
And I think it's very funny, might I add. So when we did Donkey Kong Country, I brought up that Donkey Kong Country is specifically the reason why Mario World 2 looks the way it does, like it's drawn with crayon and everything. Because, and if you didn't listen to the Donkey Kong episode, the story goes that when they started Mario World 2, Nintendo said to Miyamoto, hey, we would like it to look like Donkey Kong Country. Can you make it look like Donkey Kong Country? Because Donkey Kong Country had just come out and sold incredibly well, mostly because the marketing was allowed to focus on the graphics. And Miyamoto said, no, and also I'm going to do so thoroughly the opposite that now the game looks like it's drawn with crayons. And it's great. That game looks fantastic and has this very unique feel to it, and I think that worked out for the best. And then this game is a sprite-based 2D platformer where the sprites are 3D models digitized into sprites. And it kind of just looks like a more kiddie Donkey Kong Country.
Sort of, but it still kind of has that crayon aesthetic.
Oh, I love the aesthetic of this game. That is not me ragging on the game's aesthetic, like the blue skies being denim, like stitched denim and all that, clouds being just like pieces of stuffing. Everything like outside of the Shy Guys is a like cardboard cutout that's moving. Everything in this game aesthetically looks great, except for Miss Warp. I think she's creepy.
Miss Warp is odd.
Can you believe that character never came back in the series? Me neither.
What a shock.
She's bizarre and weird. But one super notable thing about this game, though, is that this is the first Yoshi game in which Yoshi has a voice provided by one Kazumi Totaka.
I believe he did compose this game, right?
Yes, this is also the first Yoshi game in which he did the music, and it's the first Yoshi game in which he did his voice. Totaka still voices Yoshi to this day, and I find it incredibly notable that this is the first time that that happened. Like, some of the sounds that we know that are, like, iconic from Yoshi came from Totaka's voice. Probably pitched up. I can't imagine he can naturally hit that high of a tone.
If you slow down Yoshi's voice, it ends up pitching down to the point where it just sounds like a regular guy's voice.
So that's probably Totaka's actual voice then.
Probably.
But yeah, that's something I think is incredibly relevant to Yoshi's sort of history, I suppose, his aesthetic. I know that Mario World 2 has the sort of crafted aesthetic, but I think that this game sort of establishes it heavier as this is Yoshi's thing. Yoshi now looks like, when you play a Yoshi game, it's supposed to look like somebody made it as a craft project. Because, like, that wasn't the exact intention behind Mario World 2's graphics. That was just, like, because baby Mario, see world in crayon.
Well, and then it ended up, like, becoming the style.
Yeah, pretty much. So, I want to know something. Do you have a favorite page?
Not really. It all just kind of like feels very, very much the same to me, I think. I assume you do, since you're asking the question?
No, and I wanted to see if that was weird. Because again, this game is just sort of, I think I'd call it average. It's not bad. It's not amazing. It's passable. It's good.
It is fine.
I enjoyed my time. I don't know what took me back to this game so often as a child, but fine is a good word for it, yes. It is fine.
I mean, it's a cute kid's game and all that, so.
This is by far, I think, the game that even more established, like, oh, what, you think Kirby is the kids' game that we make? No. It's Yoshi. Yoshi's our kids' game thing. And I think that's kind of hindered Yoshi in current times.
A little bit.
It seems like when they design Yoshi games now, they're all not quite Epic Yarn levels of easy, but none of them seem like they're all that hard. It feels like they're kind of trying to lean more into the aesthetic than anything else. And I don't think that's enough. Because, like, Yoshi's Story, while it never gets, like, balls hard, does get kind of decently hard sometimes.
Yeah, it is a surprisingly difficult game.
You're not going to go into Yoshi's Story and get the same amount of challenge that you would have gotten from, say, Super Metroid or even Star Fox from last week. Mainly, my deaths in Yoshi's Story were always like, I'm just not used to the game yet. And then once I did get used to the game, when I got to my second run, because we both did two runs, I was not losing Yoshis basically ever anymore.
I was, but...
Well, yeah, I saw that. But, like, you get what I mean, right? Like, nothing is designed specifically to feel like a challenge in later Yoshi games.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
I'm sure as a kid I would have had a hell of a time with this game. I am shocked that I beat this game as a child. I was worse at games back then than I am now, if you could believe it.
I almost don't.
But I did beat this game many, many times as a kid. And yet I noticed while you were playing that there were certain levels that I had never seen before. Somehow. Or if I had, they were gone out of my memory forever. That's another thing I want to bring up, by the way. Every level has at least a semi-interesting gimmick, for better or for worse, but every level at least feels like it has a different thing from the level before it.
Yeah, it's got ideas going on.
Some of these ideas I don't think are great. There's the snakes in the sky level that we both played. Those are kind of cool, honestly.
Yeah, I was impressed by this.
Nothing special about them, but, like, they're fun to mess around on. Or, like, the boos that work using sound and not sight. That was weird.
Yeah, that was actually really interesting. Like, that's not how boos normally work. That's cool and unique.
And I don't think that ever came back either.
No, like, I don't ever.
I can't imagine that being in any other game. Or not can't imagine, but I don't remember it being in any other game. Or, like, what's another gimmick? The leaf surfing.
That one was kind of weak.
It's weird. I don't like how this game does swimming. I think I've played worse, but I still don't like how this game does swimming. Where it's controlled entirely through the analog stick, and I...
I think it was one of... Honestly, I think it was one of the better ways to handle swimming, if I'm being honest.
I kind of prefer Donkey Kong Country's 2D swimming.
I kind of don't remember Donkey Kong Country's.
I mean, it was just like, press A to go up, you slowly go down.
I don't like that one. It feels like I'm micromanaging as I'm swimming.
See, I kind of prefer that feeling, but at the same time, I don't think that would work with the open-ended levels in Yoshi's Story.
It would be way more cumbersome.
Imagine that with that spiky snake thing.
Oh my god.
Your best friend.
No, that was kind of a cool enemy.
I agree, but he's really stressful.
Yeah, it would not have worked as well.
I'm trying to think of other levels, which is a bad sign. There's a level that you didn't play with, like, jelly, called Jelly Pipe. I really like Jelly Pipe. It's got, like, jelly surfaces that when you step on them, they slowly collapse in, and they take a little while to come back up after you jump away, and they, like, hide fruit and stuff in the jelly. I think that's kind of interesting.
That does sound kind of cool. I remember really hating 6-1.
The swords?
Yeah.
See, the swords aren't whatever killed me in 6. Well, no, you got a different bad part of 6-1 that somehow I never saw, which was the Shy Guys picking up the weight and dropping it.
Yeah, that was awful.
That looked miserable.
It was. You're right.
But for me, it was there are gears in that level. And there's at least like one or two parts where the gears are intersecting. And if you get caught between it, it's an instant death.
I didn't have that happen, but you warned me in advance, so I didn't really have the chance to happen.
Yeah, it sucked. It was not great. But like, I never had a problem with the swords. I think, what was the other castle level I did? I don't remember. I'm not sure I did another castle level. I think I might have screwed up and not gotten another heart, and so I had to do the first level again.
Oh no.
But yeah, it's a serviceable game.
It is fine.
I had a good time with it, but I cannot say that as an adult, I would be in a massive rush to go play it again.
Yeah. Which, I mean, like, it's a score attack game that, like, should be like, oh, I could play this again plenty of times. But it's like, I don't really want to. There were parts that I got into a good groove.
As a kid, obviously, this caught me super well. Like, this had my fancy super hard as a child. I played this game all the time. But I'm an adult now.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have the same charm to it that it did back then. Which is a bit of a bummer. But at the same time, like, I mean, what can you do? This game was made for an age group, and I am no longer that age group. I cannot fault it for that.
Overall, it just kind of is.
That's a good description of it.
Like, that's my main takeaway from it. Mainly that I don't really have a takeaway from it.
Yeah, it doesn't leave a huge impression. And at the end of the day, it's a fun game that I'm not super into. But there are certain parts that I am super into, and that is certain parts of the soundtrack, specifically. Which, once again, this is the first Yoshi game that was scored by one Kazumi Totaka. And it's also our first game scored by Kazumi Totaka.
Yes.
So Totaka's song would have been somewhere in here. I didn't even think to go look for that.
Not necessarily. When did he make it?
Totaka's song has been in since X in 1992. That was his first game. It's been in almost every game he's done.
Ah, I see. Well, it stopped showing up after a little while.
Yeah, but not in 97.
Well, yeah.
In Yoshi's Story, Totaka's song will play if you wait on the trial menu for about 3 minutes. The song will sound as if it were on an NES or Game Boy. Okay. So you go to the trial screen, and you wait about 3 minutes, and it'll play.
That's pretty short, all things considered. Usually you gotta wait for a while for his song.
That tends to be about how long it is.
No.
It's around 3 to 5 minutes, usually. But, let's see, the next game we have with Totaka's song in it would be Luigi's Mansion, and then we've got Animal Crossing, and Animal Crossing Happy Home Designer, and that's literally it.
Sick.
So that'll be all we see it in. Let's talk about the soundtrack, though. And I want to bring up the most important song on the soundtrack. There's no competition. Because it's Yo-Yo Yoshi. 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 Yoshi.
Yoshi. This song feels like a Lotus Juice song.
It sure does. What the hell is this song doing in this game? It's bizarre. I love it. I absolutely dig this song so much.
I have no idea where this came from.
And I choose to believe that the guy talking is Totaka. Has to be, right? Has to be.
I have no idea.
I can be convinced of nothing else. But it's just like, Yoshi. This plays in the jelly level, by the way, because the jelly level's in the sewers, and it, like, thematically fits this level so hard. It's weird.
The majority of songs on here are, like, a minute long. Like, there's a lot of songs that are so quick, and it's just, like, it blends together.
A little bit. It all uses, like, roughly the same leitmotif, and it also just... Other than Yo-Yo Yoshi, none of it sounds super different.
I mean, there is there's one of the more iconic songs of the game is Yoshi's song. It's like, you know, it plays during like the first level, and I think that it got remixed in Smash.
I think so. I believe that's the one that ended up remixed in Smash. I like the song Come Back to Me. Which is the song that plays during the Jungle Hut level. It's got this nice little groove to it. I kind of like it a lot. Not gonna lie.
I remember when I was a kid, just like generally, like I just have a bad feeling when I think about the Jungle Hut level. And I'm not exactly sure what happened when I was a kid with that level, but it's like unpleasant.
I see.
So this feels like this song. Do you remember the song from the desert in Earthbound?
Yes.
It sounds just like that song.
I think you misremember what that song sounds like.
The one when you're on the highway and it sounds like it's coming from a radio in the car?
I mean, yeah, but that song sounds more like a rock song. I think that this is a lot more like laid back, and that's like, yeah, let's rock, baby. But also, I think I get where you're coming from overall. It does have the same like sort of instrumentation feel.
It sounds like it's playing on someone's radio.
Kind of, yes. That is also true. This sounds like it could be playing on, like, the radio of the guy who owns the hut, where the Yoshis just sort of barge in, and he's like, dude, what the fuck? Why are you babies walking into my house? This is my house. You can't just walk into a house. And he throws stuff at them.
There are a lot of songs on the soundtrack that are just weird. Like, Happy Together. Like, you just, like, I'm just going through the musics on YouTube and I pull this one up and I'm like, what is happening here?
I really, really like the ending theme. It plays when it's like going over your story again, which I know that during your stream you had issues with it, and it completely makes sense why, because it's just telling you the same thing that it told you while you were playing your run. So it's the same stuff you've been reading for the past hour. But I also just kind of like the concept of, here's the storybook that you made, told all in one row, which as a kid is probably a lot more impressive than it is as an adult. But I don't know, this song hits me with a bit of a wave of nostalgia almost, especially when the Yoshi singing comes in, which, granted, that part's not super great, because the Yoshi singing is a...
It's a rough sound sample.
It's a rough sound sample, which I think it's supposed to be fair, because it's supposed to be six baby lizards singing. Is Yoshi a lizard? Yoshi doesn't have scales.
He's a dinosaur.
Dinosaurs are technically supposed to be lizards, sort of. Not really. They're more birds, but like Yoshi's neither of those. I think Yoshi's a poser. That's what he is.
Yoshi is a dinosaur as we understood them in the 90s.
I'm going to stick with my answer. Yoshi's a poser, and that's what he is.
Also, have you seen Yoshi's Final Smash and Brawl? He's a bird.
I mean, he can't fly. Well, actually, he can sort of fly. He's a flightless bird. You know what? Yeah, we'll go with that. Yoshi is a flightless bird.
Does kind of look like a dodo.
A flightless, featherless bird.
Like, tell me he doesn't kind of look like a dodo.
He kind of looks like a dodo. I could see that. He's got the right sort of, I mean, much like the dodo, without Mario, he would be extinct. Or with Mario, he'd be extinct?
Why?
I don't know. I just think it's really fun to think of a universe.
No, you need to follow up on that.
The Koopas would have hunted the Yoshis to extinction had Mario not arrived to save the day.
And when did Mario arrive?
As a baby. We've seen that game.
You and I remember that game very differently.
Also in Mario World. That's him saving the Yoshis from... It's him saving the Yoshis from being overhunted by the Koopas. That's the plot of that game.
No?
So anyways, that's Yoshi's story. I don't know, I really like the ending song. It's got a bit of a wave of nostalgia for me. And I had a good time. I especially like when it does the actual credits roll and it's like a music box version that's slowly, like, reaching the end of its wind. Very good song.
Yes. It's a great credit song. Like, it's got the right tone of just like, sit back and you did good.
And that's really all I have on this game.
I ran out of stuff on this game a while ago.
Well, it sounds like then it's time to jump to the next game.
Which is our first out of order game, miraculously.
Yeah, we have to jump back in time to do this one. Our next game is representing fighter number 74, Terry Bogard. It is the 1995 Neo Geo game, The King of Fighters 95.
Damn, what a phrase. Neo Geo game.
The only time we will say that for this entire thing, I'm pretty sure.
Quite confident, and like, it's one of those things that like, I don't think... I've ever said in my life I am playing a Neo Geo game.
Yeah. So if you're listening to this, and this went out before we went to PAX, we might be streaming this on the 27th. That is not a promise.
Yeah, we gotta... I mean, neither of us can bring our desktops to PAX, so...
So it might just be that we play this off stream, and then we will probably... do like we did with Street Fighter, where we look up like a top 8 from some tournament.
I think that is a good thing to do with fighting games.
I agree, because it lets us see like the high level. Because like I said with Street Fighter, I didn't trust myself to talk about that game very well after having just flailed around like a dumbass for an hour. But yeah, this is another fighting game, one of three on our list.
Recommended by Sakurai himself.
Yeah, that's why we picked 95, because that's the one that Sakurai specifically suggested in his video introducing Terry and giving the rundown. I think Sakurai lied to us because, like I said, there is no song from the King of Fighters 95 in Smash. And also, you said you had trouble finding official art for this game to make the cover photos and stuff?
Yep. Oh, yeah.
So Sakurai straight up lied to us. This is my conclusion. I'm looking forward to this. It's going to be a game. So Street Fighter 2 was very cool. But Street Fighter 2 is also very rough, because it's the first game of its kind ever.
We're going out of order, but we're not going that out of order.
Yeah, like, this is 4 entire years after Street Fighter 2.
Yeah.
And 4 years in the video game industry might as well be like a decade.
4 years in the 90s.
Yeah, especially in a genre that was blowing up like fighting games back then. Because that was still arcade times. Arcades still existed back then.
A hugely different time in the gaming industry.
What a novel concept. An arcade where you could go to play video games. Now, if you want to do that, you have to be over 21.
I mean, depends on where you go. We got this one place in Philly where, like, we legit found, like, the arcade cabinets where you could just play. It's like one of those, like, themed places. Or it's like you pay up front for like a bunch of credits, which are basically just like tokens, I guess.
Huh, interesting.
And we found Samurai Showdown.
Like the new one?
We found the Japanese arcade version of Samurai Showdown.
Damn, that ain't bad. I don't have a lot to say about King of Fighters in the pre-talk.
I don't know anything about it right now.
I know nothing about it. I know that it is a 3-on-3 fighting game. Fighter, yeah. It is not a tag fighter.
Oh.
At least as far as I'm aware. This might blow up in my face come next Thursday, when I'm completely wrong.
How is it 3-on-3 but not a tag fighter?
As far as I'm aware, the way it works is you each pick 3 characters.
Oh, and then it's a best of 3 between them?
And then it's a best of 3 between them.
Oh, that sounds so cool.
It does sound cool, and I'm pretty sure that's how King of Fighters works. At least, I'm pretty sure that's how 14 worked the last time I watched it. So 95 might not work like that, but I'm pretty sure that's how it goes.
That sounds sick.
So it is not a tag fighter. In fact, I don't think tag fighters existed yet. X-Men versus Street Fighter was in 96. I don't think tag fighters existed yet. So yeah, that's it. It's going to be cool. I think it's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to losing. And with that, remember, you can find us on Twitter and on YouTube and on Facebook, all at Smash Your Pieces. You can find me on Twitter at TheDebugga. You can find Matt at Grimace Duminis. You can find our editor, Peter. He does about 98% of the editing of this entire show, basically, at Pete Speakeasy on Twitter. You can find my streams at twitch.tv/DetectiveDebugga. You can find Matt's at twitch.tv/GrimaceTheMenis. And you can find our streams over at Nintendo World Report at twitch.tv/NintendoWorldReport. We are brought to you by Anonymous Dinosaur and Nintendo World Report. With that, my name is Joe.
And I'm Matt.
And we will see you next time for our discussion on the King of Fighters 95.